From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. What do Craigslist, Wikipedia, NPR, and the UN all have in common? Well, their websites are all found on the .org domain. That period .org piece of internet infrastructure has been around since 1985, and .org domains have been overseen by the same nonprofit organization since 2003. Well, now the management of .org and the roughly 10 million websites under the domain is being sold to a for-profit private equity firm for about $1 billion. That sparked a debate about the creeping commercialization of core parts of the web and whether putting operation of domains into private hands best serves the public good. So this hour in Point, the billion-dollar battle over .org. And you can join us. Who should run or operate vast swaths of the web? Should access to .org, which is used by a lot of nonprofits and non-governmental organizations, be managed by a for-profit company? And can you think of reasons why this model might actually work better than what we have now? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Now, before we get started, I should say out for full disclosure that in April of 2019, NPR was among several organizations that signed a public letter to ICANN, or the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, back when ICANN was considering lifting the price caps on .org addresses. So NPR did sign a public letter to ICANN opposing the lifting of the price caps. ICANN approved the lifting of the caps a couple of months later. So full disclosure of NPR's position on pricing and .org. Well, joining us now first is Andrew Sullivan. He is CEO of the Internet Society, or ISOC, and he's been that CEO there since 2018. It's a nonprofit which established the Public Interest Registry, and that is the group that has managed .org accounts since 2003. So, Andrew Sullivan, welcome to On Point.
Hello, and thank you for having me. It's nice to meet you on the radio.
It's nice to meet you on the radio as well. So, first of all, Andrew, I wonder if you could actually just help us understand, how does the system work right now? Like, when we say that there is a group that manages .org, what does that mean?
Each top-level domain, .org, .com, .info, .us, whatever you like, has an organization that is the authority for that space of the domain name system, and it operates the central database that allows people to register names underneath that. And each one of those organizations that is not a country code, so the generic ones, not like .us, has a contract with ICANN that you mentioned at the top in order to be the operator of this. And PIR has that contract today for .org.
Okay, so when you say operator, that means it's the group that sort of keeps that domain going, it keeps it up and running. What does it manage specifically?
That's right. So basically there is a database that permits you to register the names, and then there is another function called the DNS, or domain name system, that allows you to look them up on the internet. And this is all very nerdy, but behind the scenes, it turns the names that you're familiar with into the numbers that computers use. So the group that operates that is called the registry operator. And that registry operator has the responsibility, the legal responsibility to ICANN, to operate the name according to various policies it adopts and so on. And this is all governed by a number of agreements with ICANN that are based on community consensus developed within the ICANN system. Each one of those operators may operate the infrastructure themselves, so the actual technical infrastructure, or they may outsource it to somebody else. And in PIR's case, they outsource that operation to a company called Afilias. Full disclosure, I worked for Afilias way back in 2002 and 2003 when this transition happened. So I was directly involved in the transition in the first place.
Mm, okay. So why is the Public Interest Registry then selling the operation of 10 million .org websites to Ethos Capital, this private equity firm? It seems like PIR has been doing a good job so far.
Yes, and PIR is doing a good job, and they will continue to do a good job, because in fact, PIR is not selling the registry. What is happening is PIR, which is a supporting organization of the Internet Society, but normally in normal corporations, you would think of this as a subsidiary. We are selling PIR to Ethos Capital. And so PIR will continue to operate the registry exactly the same way that as they did before the transaction happened, but the owner of them will be different. Yep. The reason for this has to do with what the Internet Society has been doing for this time. So we created PIR in order to operate the registry because the Internet Society works on the Internet itself. We work to make sure that it is open and globally connected, that it's trustworthy and secure. And those are the things that we're focused on. So half of the world's population, including people right here in the United States, don't have access to the Internet. They can't afford it, or else it just isn't available to them. And there are a number of security issues on the Internet. And these are areas that we are focused. And what we have been doing is using the revenue that comes from the registry operation in order to fund ourselves. So every year, PIR has given us a bunch of money, about $50 million a year on the order of that. And we use that in order to fund these other activities. But the registry business is changing, and so what we're trying to do is ensure that PIR has the resources necessary to continue to operate the registry for the benefit of all .org registrants.
So you need the money, is what you're saying. But do you not have any concerns about in finding this future source of funding that you are selling what was essentially a not-for-profit corner of the internet to a company that, as well-intentioned as they might be, fundamentally it's a for-profit enterprise?
Well, so it's not that we need the money, because all that will happen, this is revenue neutral for us. What will happen is we will get an endowment that allows us to fund ourselves at the same level as ever. It really doesn't actually increase our revenue at all. It makes it more diverse, but it doesn't really change our income. It's important to remember that the registries, most of the registries are run for profit today, and essentially all, not quite all, but most of the registrars that you actually use, the sort of retail arm when you do a registration, most of those are for profit. So what this does is it takes one database and it makes the ownership of the company that is operating that into a for-profit entity as opposed to a not-for-profit entity. That allows us to continue to invest essentially indefinitely in the work that we do in order to make sure that the internet is, you know, stronger and that it gets bigger. And it allows PIR to invest in the registry operations itself for the benefit of the .org registrants. So I think, in fact, this is being portrayed as sort of, we're selling a not-for-profit thing off to a for-profit company. But in fact, what's happening is we're returning it to a model that it came from. It was originally operated as a for-profit enterprise, and we're returning it to that model because we think it allows investment in the registry itself.
Okay. So Andrew Sullivan, stand by here for just a moment, because I want to turn now to Esther Dyson. She joins us from New York. She's founding chair of the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, or ICANN, as we've been talking about, served in that position from 1998 to 2000. She's also the founding member of the Cooperative Corporation of .org Registrants, and they were founded to advance a bid against the sale of the .org registry. But perhaps most important, she recently wrote an opinion piece in the Washington Post that was headlined, "Don't Give Your .org Domain Away to a Private Company." Esther Dyson, welcome to you.
Hi. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so what's at stake?
What's at stake? So first of all, we founded C-Core in November, December, not to make a bid ourselves, but to ask ICANN to do its job and to consider the bid from Ethos much more carefully. And we believe that if they did, most likely they would say, let's just leave things the way they are, and if we need to change anything, let's do it thoughtfully and carefully. The issue here is whatever ISOC's needs are, they're going to get a fixed amount of money. And Ethos is paying that fixed amount of money because, like any private company, they think they can take the asset they're buying and make more money by probably changing it, maybe cutting costs, reducing service slightly, selling the data of the registrants, because Ethos does have other businesses that are in the data brokering business. We don't really know, but it disturbs us because fundamentally a not-for-profit is run and is not owned by anybody, but it operates for the benefits of the registrants and the people that the registrants work with. And we don't think turning it into a for-profit is likely to help it continue that mission.
Well, so Esther, if I may, I'm just trying to think of all the many, many people who get on the web and use onpointradio.org, for example, and literally give no thought to the .org part of the address, right? Because it's just as common as air. Right. Why should they care? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, why is this seems like it's such a high stakes agreement that's gone through? It's really riled people up, but why?
I think it offends our sense of justice and rightness, and we're concerned, again, that it's like taking, you don't take a person and sell them. I mean, I don't want to get into release. You know, it's not the same as slavery, but it is in that same direction. You take something with a purpose that's beyond money, and you turn it into something whose purpose is to make money for the shareholders, and that's a perfectly legitimate business model. We just don't think it ought to apply to .org, which was founded as a not-for-profit, serves not-for-profits, and we'd like to make sure that the .org name continues to mean something, whereas... So when I founded ICANN, we had the same discussion. Should there be more top-level domain names? And for a long time, we resisted because we didn't. I mean, now if you're Coca-Cola, you have to register coca-cola.info.web, all the different countries, .food, .healthy. And so those domain names have been cheapened or inflated because, you make more money by selling more domain names, even though each one is worth a little less.
Mm. Well, Esther, stand by here for a second because we do have to take a quick break here. So Esther Dyson and Andrew Sullivan, we're talking about the billion-dollar sale of .org and what that means for the average internet user and why there's such a battle over the domain of .org being sold to a private equity firm. We'll be back. This is On Point.
Support for the On Point podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/onpoint. That's Indeed.com/onpoint. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking about the fascinating billion-dollar battle over .org and why many people who care about the structure of the internet are concerned about the impending sale of the .org domain and the management of that domain to a private equity firm. I'm joined today by Andrew Sullivan. He's CEO of the Internet Society, or ISOC. And Esther Dyson is also with us. She's founding chair of the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. She served in that position from 1998 to 2000. Now, Esther, before the break, I was asking you to sort of lay out your case as to why this matters to your average Internet user or web user here. And what I heard you say is that .org represents something. It represents this sort of It should represent this open, not-for-profit corner of the web, and that has meaning, and that you just fundamentally object to the idea that it can be then turned into a for-profit enterprise.
Yes, fundamentally that's correct. And to be candid, the point is really that ISOC has the right to sell the public interest registry, but it does not have the right to sell the power to run the .org domain that was delegated to it by ICANN. And we're asking ICANN to look at this and say, we don't want ISOC to sell this. We lent this, we delegated this to ISOC to run and to take the revenues that it generated to help support themselves because they're doing a good job. But ICANN should not want to see this purpose-driven organization turned into an asset to be sold off. And that's the real issue. You know, ISOC probably thought, wow, you know, this is a great way to ensure our future, but we don't believe that they had the right to do that. So our call is for ICANN to step in and do its job and say, we want to delegate this to someone who's going to keep it as a not-for-profit and to make sure that the .org name means something and stands for something. Mm. And, you know, there's all kinds of speculation about all the horrible things Ethos might do, and I have no idea what Ethos will do. But that's not really the point. The point is simply that it should not be a for-profit.
It's, okay. Well, just so briefly, some of the things that people are wondering might happen, you know, prices going up on .org, web addresses, selling of the data. That could be potentially very lucrative.
Yes,
people are worried about censorship, too. We're going to dig into all of that in just a second. But Esther, I did want to ask you, there's something that Andrew Sullivan said in the previous segment where he said a lot of the domains and possibly even .org before were run by for-profit organizations anyway. So what's the big deal?
Yes, but being operated is very different from what your mission is. And that was long ago. They were operated by this company called Network Solutions, most of them. But when ICANN was created back in 1998 and as it sort of established itself, which was also a challenging process, it started figuring these things out, and it on purpose delegated the running of .org to this public interest registry that was fundamentally was hosted at ISOC. And it was kind of, it wasn't a permanent gift. It was more like, here, you host this thing, we'll reward you for doing so, but we are the people who give it the right to run this monopoly because .org is a monopoly. It's the only thing that can sell .org names. Mm-hmm. And the others are, you know, the monopoly on .coke or .web or something, it's a small monopoly, but .org basically is the provider of all the .org names that are designated for nonprofits.
Mm-hmm. Well, Esther and Andrew, hang on here for just a second, because let's speak to the actual organization that is putting forth the money to buy .org. Nora Abusita joins us right now from Los Angeles. She is Chief Purpose Officer for Ethos Capital. They have an agreement to buy the .org domain for about $1.1 billion. And Nora was also formerly a Senior Vice President for Development at ICANN. Nora Abusita, welcome to On Point.
Thank you. Thank you, Magna, for having me. I'm very happy to join you.
So what? Why is Ethos Capital interested in buying .org?
Well, Ethos is a different type of private equity firm. The reason Ethos was established was a belief that we can do well and we can do good at the same time. When we were looking at different opportunities, it was very clear that .org was an excellent opportunity, both because it serves a great purpose, and this is what we're really looking for in an investment, but also because it has a lot of opportunity for growth.
Opportunity for growth, meaning for profit?
For profit, absolutely, but profit while doing good.
So when doing your analysis in terms of .org's current value, how much profit does Ethos think it can make?
Well, I can tell you, I mean, I will not speak to that so much right now, but I can tell you that if you look at what ISOC requires of PIR in terms of budget, And you look at the current value of .org that Ethos is paying, you will very quickly see that it costs about $50 to $60 million to operate ISOC, right? And we are paying $1.1 billion more or less for the asset. The interest alone for this transaction is less than what PIR is paying ISOC. Therefore, there will be a lot of money left to invest in PIR itself, right? So this is a kind of a restructuring of a business that will be beneficial to all parties involved.
So, just a second, Esther. I will let you. But Nora. Respectfully, I mean, I am, you said doing good while doing well. I'm interested in the doing well part here. I mean, yeah. Are you saying that you're unable to give us the number on the percentage of return on investment that Ethos thinks it's going to capture from owning .org?
I can't speak to that right now.
Okay. 5%, 10%, 15, 20. And if so, how? Is it going to come through raising the payment on the domain names?
Absolutely not. So we have engaged extensively with community members and leaders and business leaders to listen to what their concerns are about for this transaction. And as you know, and as you've noted, one of the biggest concerns is the price. We are not going to raise prices or change the approach that PIR has had for many years regarding prices. If anything, the price... the prices will stay within the 10% increase per year on average, which is really nothing to anyone holding a .org.
Well, so I'm curious, though, and again, there are a lot of sort of companies that look for the double bottom line. I understand that. But I'd love to have an answer as to what, like, the fiscal part of that bottom line is, because ICANN lifted the price caps on .org domains in late June, the very end of June of 2019. And it was the very next month, right, in September of 2019, that Ethos said, we would like to buy .org. So clearly there is some... there's a dollar figure amount here that I think, doesn't the public deserve to know how much Ethos thinks it can make by operating .org?
And the public will know in due time. I mean, I think you appreciate that we're in the midst of this transaction. And so there's a lot of things that we can, disclose, and others that we can't. And to be frank, my focus as the chief purpose officer is really to make sure that our new assets do good. Right? The profit side is left to other members of our team. However, let me tell you this. PIR has not been able to invest in itself because year after year it has had to hand over the money to ISOC, which has an amazing mandate. ISOC essentially keeps the internet free around the world, right? So PIR was serving ISOC just like a museum shop in a museum, essentially. What we're allowing for PIR to do now is to kind of reap the benefits of its own sales and to invest back in itself. That alone makes it a very profitable business for us.
Well, Esther Dyson, then go ahead and respond to that.
Yeah. So first, I want to talk about the issue of prices. And forgive me, but this is such a familiar story. Nobody is complaining that Facebook charges its users too much. They're complaining about what Facebook does with their data. And, you know, whether it's $10 or $20 per domain name, myname.org, is really not the point. The point is exactly what Nora says. Yes, we're going to make this thing much more profitable. There's a couple of issues here. First of all, PIR right now, Afilias, I don't know the details, but Afilias provides a very discount price to PIR for its technical operation of .org. You're going to find, in fact, that the amount of money PIR has to spend would go up if it became a for-profit, because it would no longer be subsidized by the rest of the internet. So the question remains, as you already asked, Meghna, what are they going to do to get a return on their investment? And believe me, it's not PIR investing in itself. It's going to be Ethos investing in PIR in order eventually to sell it, because that's what private equity funds do. And that's what we're concerned about. We're concerned about not getting straight answers. Nor is not the only person who worked at ICANN during the time when the price caps were lifted who is now involved with ESOS. And we don't know who else is involved. We don't know who the investors are. We don't know what their mission is. And that's why we're concerned. And that's why we're not asking. We don't want someone else to buy it. We want ICANN to do its job and to keep it as an organization that serves its members.
But Esther, I mean, Nora also just said that in this under ownership from via Ethos that PRR, which she says hasn't been able to invest in itself in the past, would be now. And that would be to the advantage of all of .org.
No, because .org is not supposed to grow and become an amazing, profitable company. It's supposed to serve its members by providing uptime, by providing an orderly registry of .org names, and it does that job superbly well. We don't want it to lose its focus.
If you look at the numbers, the sales of .org have been declining. The
yes.
reason they have been declining is that, you know, PIR has not been able to, invest in growing the business. There's nothing wrong with growing the business because it invests back in itself. This
but I
world
do not
of,
want
of
PIR
domain
to
name
market
is
things.
Evolving. Okay.
I'm sorry.
So let me tackle
the
some
sign
of the
of
points you made, Esther. Let me tackle some of the points you make, which are very important points. First of all, ICANN's mandate is to make sure that through this transaction, the service remains reliable, stable, and secure. This is ICANN's mandate. You and I have both worked at ICANN and know that very well. The second point is, in order to make money, you cannot compare .org to a platform such as Facebook. These are very different things. And I know for people who are not into the domain name industry or into this kind of technology, it may appear to be the same, but it's not. So we cannot compare Facebook to .org. .org has no ability to sell data. It doesn't have access to the right amount of data, and I can ask Andrew Sullivan to comment on this because he's the technical guy here. There's no way we can monetize on data from the .org domain names. So this is the second point that's really important for listeners to know. Thirdly, if we maintain the current pricing model that PIR has imposed, and we allow for PIR and for Ethos to invest back into the domain name, there will be growth. Now, to the point that there hasn't been transparency around the transaction, this is completely incorrect. We have engaged with the community and with leaders on several occasions. We had public webinars. We have spoken to community leaders. We have engaged in public discussions. We have taken on every single concern that the community leaders have articulated and tackled it very clearly.
In that case,
I myself have reached out to Esther several times from the very beginning of this transaction to explain to her what we're trying to do and to get her input. Esther is a leader in this field, and we have always wanted her to be on board with us.
So, Nora, just let me just jump in here. If I may just ask you two quick questions. On the point of transparency, then, are you able to tell us now who Ethos's investors are?
I can tell you that all of Ethos's investors are American entities that have been checked and that we are very comfortable working with.
Meaning who?
I cannot give you names at this point. This is not I don't think it's appropriate for this conversation to be talking about the names of investors.
And then on the other point about growth being where the value will be harvested from, how much growth do you anticipate needing to achieve for it to be of a meaningful profit for Ethos?
Allow it to operate as it is now, without having to hand over $60 million a year to ISOC.
So that $60 million—that $60 million would go to Ethos's investors?
To ISOC.
Was it without handing that over?
So if you don't have to hand over $60 million yearly from PIR to ISOC, PIR will be able to grow.
Because it would be investing in itself, and that $60 million would not be going back to the investors?
We have loans that we have to pay back, but the investors are looking at this very long term.
Okay. So I'm going to go to Andrew Sullivan here in just a second. But Esther Dyson, returning to this issue of this concern over selling of data that Ethos might be able to get off operating.org. I mean, Nora said very, very explicitly just now that that won't happen and that it can't happen.
Okay. So then I call on you, Nora, to say what this growth means, because I do not want to get marketing every day saying buy another .org domain name. And so I still don't understand what it is that .org is going to do or sell that's going to generate all this growth.
Let me simplify it. You have an asset that has been sitting there and handing over all the profit to another important entity with a very, very good purpose. Right now, we are liberating this asset and allowing it to invest back in itself, right? Mark all the domain names market. You currently probably get emails to buy .com and .foundation and .charity and so on and so forth. So if this is the kind of data you're talking about for marketing purposes, that's done throughout the industry.
Nora Abusita, forgive me for interrupting. I just have 15 seconds to get us to a break that we have to take. So stand by for just a moment. We are talking about the sale of .org to a private equity firm and the battle that's erupted after that. We'll be back. This is On Point.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking this hour about the fascinating billion-dollar battle over the sale of .org, or the management of that domain, which has historically been associated with not-for-profit organizations, the management of that domain to a for-profit private equity firm. We're trying to understand what this sale really means for the internet as a whole, and for the commercialization of parts of the internet. It's already been going on. But what does it mean now? And I'm joined today by Andrew Sullivan. He is CEO of the Internet Society. He's held that position since 2018. And the Internet Society established the Public Interest Registry. That is the organization that has managed .org accounts since 2003. Esther Dyson also joins us. She's founding chair of the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, or ICANN. She served in that position from 1998 to 2000. And she recently wrote an op-ed piece in the Washington Post headlined, "Don't Give Your .org Domain Away to a Private Company." And Nora Abusita also joins us as well. She's chief purpose officer for Ethos Capital. That is the private equity firm that is set to buy .org, probably in just a couple of weeks, for $1.1 billion. Now, Nora, if I may, I'm very grateful that all of you who are like the world's experts at this are joining us today. But I need to sort of bring this conversation down to the level of the layperson as well and just ask you kind of simply, when you say that you believe that through Ethos's ownership, .org can grow, does that mean growth through the sheer number of .org websites and at the same time increasing the prices for those websites? Is that where the growth is going to come from?
Absolutely not. And we have stated on many occasions that we are sticking with what PIR has done regarding pricing, meaning no more than a 10% per year on average increase, which is much less any other domain name, if I can compare it to other domain names. Not only have we stated that we wouldn't raise those prices by more than 10% per year, but we are putting these commitments in our governing documents. So we have been pushed by this very vibrant and outspoken internet community to make the right kind of commitments, and we have. Now, you have asked, what does this mean to your average .org domain holder or a charity or a purpose-driven organization? Essentially, it doesn't mean much. PIR has run .org brilliantly for the past few years, and it will keep on running it. If anything is going to change, it's going to be the services that are going to be provided by us. For example, .org doesn't have a huge presence all around the world on a global level. So perhaps we will do a little bit more on promoting .org as it's around the world. We may have other services to make sure that it reaches the right kind of people. There's a lot of creative ways to make this service a much better service without raising price.
You have to just forgive me because I am thoroughly confused then. I am confused where this growth is going to come from and why some investors believe that it's worth $1.1 billion to invest in. I'm just confused. From the investor's standpoint, where are they seeing a return on this investment?
Well, I mean, to put it in very basic terms, we're hoping to reverse the trend of a fall in the sales of .org domain names. So let's start with that one. So we'll make the right efforts, we'll invest appropriately to make sure that sales go back up. The second thing is we will invest a lot of money back into the service to make it more appealing to different purpose-driven organizations. There's a lot of ways to do that without raising the prices. And like I said, this is a long-term investment, meaning we're not trying to maximize in the shortest amount of time. We are in this for the very long haul. And over time, this is going to be beneficial for us.
Well, let's actually get some callers in here, some people who actually use the .org domain. Let's go to Ray, who's calling from Detroit, Michigan. Ray, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have three .orgs. I own three .orgs. The domain names are actually functioning as real estate. There's a real estate. And I'm trying to see how this particular sale is going to positively impact my digital presence. And I don't understand why would there be added value, because it functions perfectly as we see fit at this point in time. So I don't understand, is it just a real estate grab to increase profits? Because my domain, they function perfectly. So what is the added value to me as an owner of three domains?
Yeah, Ray, great question. Nora, would you like to answer him?
Well, you make an excellent point, Ray. For you, if you hold three domain names, nothing is going to change. The service will function as well as it always has.
He's asking about how are you going to bring value to him?
So there's two kinds of domain name holders. You have people who invest in tens of thousands of domain names, right? So they buy, tens of thousands of .coms, for example, and then they resell them. The same applies to some .org domain names. And then you have the purpose-driven organizations that use .org as their home. The equation is very different for the two. If we're talking about .org being the home of purpose-driven organizations, we can't really talk about, the real estate here. We're talking about purpose-driven organizations that use this platform as the way to communicate with the rest of the world. Now, if this is a business transaction, this is not the platform for people to buy in bulk and sell in bulk. Is it going to be lucrative for them to do that? I honestly don't know. But from my perspective as chief purpose officer, I look at .org as the home of purpose-driven organizations. Usually they don't hold more than two or three.
Well,
may I comment?
Yes, please, Esther, go ahead.
Thank you. I mean,
But Nora, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me that the other thing you can do is you can sell Ray security services. You can sell him, you know, advertising opportunities so that he can advertise his domain names. And, you know, that is a great business, but to me, it's really not the purpose of .org.
I understand, but it sounds like Ray holds the domain. I don't know what Ray does with his domain names. The point here is what the people are getting out of .org today is not going to change. It's just going to get better, right?
But they're going to get offered more stuff because you're trying to grow the revenues, right?
Is more? I mean, Andrew, maybe you can comment on that.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I think it's important to recognize that the registry doesn't have any direct relationship at all with the registrants of domain names. All of that relationship is managed through a registrar. The registry you can think of as the wholesale arm, and the registrar is the person you buy from, GoDaddy or somebody like that. And they're the retail arm, and they have all of the relationship with the end users. So the customers for registries are registrars, and any business plan for any registry depends on offering things that are attractive to registrars and coming up with ways to differentiate that registry from other registries. I think,
Andrew, can I just jump in here? I need to rely on your expertise here to translate that to normal people English. Are you saying that, yes, Ethos could go on to sell things like security service to people who buy .org websites? Yes or no?
So I think what they can do is they can offer security services that registrars want to sell to their users. And I think that the idea that the registry should not be developing things that only the registry can deliver in favor of .org registrants, whether they are not-for-profit organizations or not, is crazy. I think that, you know, on the contrary, not-for-profits and everybody else who's registering things in .org should benefit from the same potential services as anybody else on the internet. I think that would be a good thing for not-for-profits. Mm.
Let's take another call here. Let's go to Chris, who's calling from Bridgewater, Massachusetts. Chris, you're on the air.
Howdy-doody, one and all.
Howdy-doody, Chris. What do you think?
Well, I think something's rotten in Denmark. And you don't have to be a genius to see the way this broke out. You had 1 month, they took the limits off, the caps off the domain name fee. The next month, you had people working for the former agency now working for the company that bought or is trying to buy the rights to do it. And I think further, it violates not just the smell test for conflict of interest, but it also violates the spirit of the .org and how nothing that's not for profit or non-profit should be mixed with a profit incentive. And there's no pressing public interest here. It just seems like a money grab. And every explanation I've seen here doesn't do anything but reinforce that idea to anyone that's been listening closely. Mm.
Well, Chris, thank you for your call. Nora Abusita, would you like to respond to him?
Absolutely. I think everybody on the call has had a link to ICANN one way or another. This is an industry that is very vibrant, and it's very normal for kind of subject matter experts to find themselves again and again in a business that's related to, you know, what they know best. So to that point, in terms of, you know, trying to paint this transaction in a way that it's not, we have repeatedly made public commitments to alleviate the concerns around pricing, around the other issues that people have brought up, about the service levels, about our accountability to our commitments. So, you know, at the end of the day, we are engaging and we're doing everything we can. The fact that, you know, the price caps were removed and then the deal happened is just a coincidence.
It's a coincidence, Nora. It's too much of a... I mean, they followed hot on the heels of one another. Really?
Well,
a coincidence?
If I may, actually, when I started in 2018, I was approached several times long before the price caps were removed. I was approached several times by people who wanted to take over .org. This is an ongoing question that has been coming to us, and the reason for that has to do with changes in the industry. The industry has changed dramatically over the last several years because a whole bunch of new top-level domains were introduced into the system. So it isn't true that the price cap removal, which was consistent in the ICANN world with everything else, every other contract doesn't have these price caps except for .com, which is they're a market maker. And so I think what happened was people just wanted a consistent contract. But I agree with you that it does not look great. I think that it's reasonable to raise concerns about that. But I can tell you that many people have approached us over this. The reason we did not go with any of those people approaching us was because we didn't think that they were, that they had an appropriate business plan for .org, that they wanted to build on the services that are offered to not-for-profits. And I think that that's an important fact in this case. That was the reason we wanted to do it.
Esther Dyson,
and we are committing to not increasing the prices more than 10% per year, right? So we do acknowledge that this is a strange coincidence that people are not comfortable with the fact that the transaction happened right after these price caps were removed. And therefore, we proactively said we will not raise prices by more than 10% per year on average, which is the historic approach. So I understand that, it could raise some eyebrows, and so we tackled it by saying not raising prices by more than 10% per year on average.
Well, Esther Dyson, I'll give you a chance to respond here, but I also want to just ask you, as far as I understand, there is an agreement for Ethos to buy PIR here, and that ICANN has to make a decision by mid-February, right? February 17th. It sounds like this thing is going through.
Honestly, I certainly hope not. And again, the coincidence, there were several people, not just Nora, involved with ICANN immediately, clearly during the time that this transaction was being contemplated. And I was involved with ICANN 1998 to 2000, and to some extent I've been disappointed how much it's basically ruled by commercial interests, but at least it's not ruled by government interests. And .org has always been something of a shining example of something in the public interest. So that's sort of the basic thing here. Coincidence or not, I'll leave that up to the listeners to judge. But again, I have to ask the fundamental question. If this thing is going to grow so well and it's been such a laggard, these are financial terms, and .org was not created to milk its users. It was created to serve its users and ideally to give the benefits of its operation back to them. And so this fundamental change of a not-for-profit into a for-profit, that's up to ICANN to decide.
And so I agree with you fully, Esther, that this platform is sacred and we are committed to the public interest in this situation. However, this platform has been stripped of its ability to serve its own customers and to invest in itself.
Nobody is complaining that their .org domain doesn't work.
Yeah. But what you are proposing with the co-op just simply doesn't work.
Well, if I may, I'm going to have to wrap it up there. I'm going to have to wrap it up there with all three of you. And this was an absolutely fascinating conversation because really for the average listener, it was a chance for us to get a look through the keyhole about the business battles that are going on behind those .orgs or .whatever. So Nora Abusita, Chief Purpose Officer for Ethos Capital, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Meghna.
And Esther Dyson, Founding Chair of ICANN, thank you, Esther, for being with us.
Thank you, Meghna.
And Andrew Sullivan, CEO of the Internet Society, or ISOC. Andrew Sullivan, thank you as well.
My great pleasure. Thank you.
And folks, I can't help it. Go to onpointradio.org and let us know what you think. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
Mm-hmm.